Harry Hay, Pride and Pedophilia, The Original Sin of the Gay Rights Movement, originally published on the 9th of June 2021 for the Anti-Politics Substack. In modern political discourse, much effort is taken to discredit ideas, not on their merit, but on their origins and the personalities associated with them. American ideals, the US Constitution, and the institutions they birth are often posited to be inseparable from the slave-owning founding fathers and the racist system that laid them down. It is argued concepts as fundamental as freedom of speech are tainted because of the far-right personalities now associated with them. In the eyes of their opponents, they are what amounts to ideological original sin. But the LGBT movement has its own founding fathers, whose personalities and ideas form the backbone of modern activism. Unlike the actual founding fathers, they live closer to the 1960s than the 1760s, and as such their work is still the direct blueprint for ideas espoused in schools and colleges across the world. One of the most influential of these figures, and the topic for our piece today, was Harry Hay. He may not be the biggest household name, but within the gay rights movement, Harry Hay is considered the founding father of gay liberation, precursor to the modern LGBT movement, and a vital figure in its emergence as a cultural force. An ardent communist, Hay joined the American Communist Party in 1934, but found himself hemmed in by the opposition to homosexuality as bourgeois. After a failed excursion into heterosexual marriage, Hay set up the Mattachine Society in 1948, the first organization dedicated to gay rights in the United States. In 1969, he chaired the West Coast chapter of the Gay Liberation Front, set up in the wake of the Stonewall Riots, and continued to be active and influential throughout his life. Here are just a few examples of what has been written about Harry Hay that demonstrates his importance to the history of the LGBT movement. In 1950, Harry Hay founded the modern gay rights movement. He may have been the bravest man in Los Angeles, reads a 1990 headline for the Los Angeles Times. Although little known in the broader national culture over the years, Mr. Hay's contribution was to do what no one else had done before, plant the idea among American homosexuals that they formed an oppressed cultural minority of their own, like blacks, and to create a lasting organization in which homosexuals could come together to socialize and to pursue what was, at the beginning, a very radical concept of homosexual rights, reads the New York Times obituary to Harry Hay in 2002. Then editor of The Progressive magazine, Matt Rothschild, called Hay a hero of ours, writing that he should be a household name. He wrote, "The courageous and visionary man launched the modern gay rights movement even in the teeth of McCarthyism." In 1950, Hay started the first modern gay rights organization, the Underground Mattachine Society. That's from Progressive magazine in 2016. But there's something all of these gushing articles fail to mention about Harry Hay. He was a paedophile. Not only a paedophile, but a proud advocate for decriminalizing sex with children and the removal of laws governing age of consent. The image you see on screen is Harry Hay marching with NAMBLA in an anti-nuclear demonstration in 1982. From its founding in the late 1970s, Hay was an active supporter of the North American Man-Boy-Love Association, known as NAMBLA, the largest pro-pedophile organization in the United States. Speaking in the 1983 Gay Academic Union Forum at New York University, Hay stated that, to quote, "The relationship with an older man is precisely what 13 to 14-year-old and 15-year-old kids need more than anything else in this world," and referenced his own sexual encounters with older men as a 14-year-old boy in a positive light. As made clear in the 1994 documentary Chicken Hawk, Men Who Love Boys, NAMBLA isn't some esoteric organization that wanted to discuss the intellectual ideas or free speech issues surrounding pedophilia. These were active and predatory child molesters. NAMBLA itself was partly born out of the reaction to police raids in Boston in 1977, which uncovered the rapes of boys as young as 8 years old. It's also apparent from Hayes' statements that he held a belief that pederasty was not only acceptable but beneficial since his own statutory rape at the age of 14. There are not, as some sources imply, bad decisions and controversial views arrived at in later years, but long-held core beliefs from the beginning. NAMBLA was not unique. Throughout the 1970s and into the 1990s, paedophile organisations continued to be part of the LGBT movement. In the UK, the Paedophile Information Exchange was a member of the National Council for Civil Liberties, now simply called Liberty, from at least 1978. With evidence it was still an active and welcome member of the organisation until 1983, when it was fully expelled. Hay himself wore a sign emblazoned with "NAMBLA Walks With Me" as he participated in a 1986 Gay Pride March in Los Angeles after pushback to NAMBLA's inclusion in the event. There is evidence the organisation was present at, and even took part in the planning of, many Pride marches across the US before this date, and enjoyed a degree of support from LGBT organisations well into the 1990s. The image you can see on screen is Harry Hay marching in the 1986 LA Pride Parade with a sign saying "NAMBLA Walks With Me." This came into sharp relief in 1994, when the International Lesbian and Gay Association, the ILGA, had its consultative status at the United Nations dropped due to NAMBLA and other paedophile organisations still being members. NAMBLA was in fact the first US-based organisation to be a member of the then International Gay Association and have maintained that status until the UN scrutinised its role. The period of Hayes' activism laid down the principles, culture and style within LGBT activism that continues to this day. The idea that gay and lesbian people should not attempt to assimilate into the prevailing culture, but instead fight against it to forge their own strong, separate sexual identities outside of the morality and legality of polite society. Harry Hay was ardently anti-assimilation. Ever the warrior, gay rights icon Harry Hay has no patience for assimilation, reads the headline in San Francisco Gate. This article again making no mention of his decades of paedophile activism. Hay's view was that gay people were an oppressed social minority or cultural minority, patterned after the Marxist concepts of the minority group within a cultural or class struggle. The pervasive influence of radical Marxist ideas and LGBT activism goes beyond the scope of this article, while the idea that paedophiles also continue to constitute an oppressed minority group is at the heart of many efforts for its acceptance. Hay very much applied the same logic and tactics to his paedophile activism as he did to his gay rights activism, that both groups are unfairly maligned by a prudish wider society. In Hay, we also find the pattern for permissiveness and hedonism that has come to define many people's mental image of the LGBT community as it stands today. He saw no limit to human sexuality, and often railed against attempts to temper or moderate what he saw as absolute. To him, pedophilia was merely the last taboo to be overcome in the face of a stuffy and conservative world. Right up until his death in 2002, Hay never apologised for or rescinded his statements on pedophilia, even as NAMBLA, the organisation he fiercely defended, was forced back underground. He never showed any sign he ever regretted supporting the abuse of children at the hands of adult gay men. The modern identitarian left argues that you cannot separate someone from their beliefs, the author from his work, the art from the artist, that many organizations and institutions are flawed and must be replaced because they were founded by racists or bigots. In their view, any form of ideological impurity renders a political enemy a fair game target. How then do they reconcile the fact that the modern gay rights movement was founded by an unapologetic paedophile, a man who went to his grave espousing the belief grown men should be able to have sex with young boys? How do they reconcile the fact that NAMBLA, the paedophile advocacy group Harry Hay helped establish, was only expelled from leading LGBT advocacy groups in the 1990s after pressure from the United Nations? If the original sin of the United States is slavery, then the original sin of the gay rights movement is Harry Hay's paedophilia. For better or worse, the personality and beliefs of Hay are imprinted on the DNA of the LGBT movement. The anti-assimilation stance, the use as gay as a fully formed cultural and political identity rather than merely an expression of differing attraction, and has ideas of complete sexual permissiveness beyond the boundaries of what society finds acceptable, legal, or moral, often to an extreme degree, are woven into the fabric of this LGBT activism. If we are to judge ideas by their progenitors and movements by the personalities at their core, then perhaps LGBT activists would do well to look inwards towards their own troubling recent past. As articles from The Guardian, The LA Times, The New York Times, and a plethora of other mainstream and leftist news sources show, Hayes pedophilia, and that of many others, has been whitewashed from LGBT history. Thank you for listening, guys. This is one of the earlier articles on our anti-politics Substack. It's something that's come into the fore after we talked about it. If you enjoyed it, do go over to the Substack and read some more of our other pieces. There's links down below for you guys to support. I'll be back with more of these, hopefully weekly, while I can. Anyway, do check back in for the regular streams on Mondays and Wednesdays, and I'll see you again.